The Breakfast Flakes podcast brought to you by the Blue Cat Bar and Grill. Next to the Roadside Event Center in Huntley, the Blue Cat, it's where it's at.
Well, folks, not too many country radio stations in America are going to play you a song from 1947 today, and that will be the most banjo you get on any country station today. Grandpa Jones on My Own Grandpa. 40 degrees downtown, we all know it's coming. It looks like the snow is about 24 hours away. And everybody's getting as ready as they can, finding that snow shovel. Gonna cool off too. 50 today, 35 tomorrow. Thursday's high is 25 with an overnight low of 10. Friday morning it'll be 9, Saturday morning 11, Sunday morning 9. So we're heading into just a little peak at winter here. But the next week warms back up a little bit, just so we get the stuff off the road. Okay, Weather Channel says 1 inch of snow in the next 24 hours, 4 inches in the next 48. And not wishing ill on people, but Paul saw a map yesterday where they thought south of us would get more snow, and I hope south of us gets more snow than we do.
Yeah, I saw a new one. Now they said up north, Jordan Circle, up in there, 12 to 18 inches. So wow. I don't think they know, really. Depends how fast it moves. You saw the clouds yesterday, the swirling around. You know, if the wind picks up and it blows it through, you won't get as much. So, it's like a football game, you know. Who thought the 49ers would lose? No one. They lost.
There was one guy.
Yeah. So, I should be, by the end of today, I should be ready. Got some tank heaters to put in today. Yesterday, I went down to drain the pipeline, and I drive by the highway, and I got 7 cows down by the highway yesterday. They were not even supposed to be anywhere near the highway. Damn it, damn it, damn it.
Girls, bring it in. We got to talk.
I had to get my four-wheeler out. It's raining. It's cold. Drive all the way over there. Get those 7 head in. So I moved them 2.5 miles, got them down to the building, got them in there. Great. Everybody, now stay put and relax. We'll make it. We'll be fine. I thought, well, as long as I'm cold and wet, I might as well go check the other wells. So I went up there, checked them. They were full. I shut them down. So they moved down a little bit here during the storm. And 5 o'clock, got my pickup, drive home, going down the highway. I look over, there's 3 more cows standing there in that patch, right near the 7 I just moved out of there. They were down in the bottom of a draw, and I didn't see them. 3 more. So guess what I have to do again today, Mark?
Turn around and go back, get on the four-wheeler?
Yep, go all the way back over there and move those 3. God. But that's just what we do.
Yeah, that's the job.
Yep, I put off weaning. I'm not going to wean Friday. Weather's too bad. I'll never get semis in there anyway. Right. It'll be soupy for a while and sloshy. And I just don't want to take the calves off the cows when it's like this. You know, they might get sick or get pneumonia or something. It's just not good. They go through stress anyway and stuff like that. So, oh, well. By next week, like I said, by next Thursday, Friday, everybody will have already forgotten it.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't, when I was riding yesterday, I couldn't believe how green the grass is. For this late in the fall, I mean, it's just, it's really, there's a lot of green grass out there. And I don't want to say it because I don't want to jinx it about the grass, but I'm going to say it anyway. Because, Mark, we have summer coming this winter,
mm-hmm,
with El Nino.
Yeah, according to the forecast.
Yo, last week, that's all you heard, folks, before this storm moved in, about the mild, warm winter we're going to have because of you folks. You didn't change the refrigerant in your air conditioner of your car. That one came out last week, you know. And so they tied it all in. And the whole country's getting blasted with this. They have had to have named this storm by now on the Weather Channel. Because this is going to be a big one. And it's going to hit the Midwest, go through us, head down to Nebraska, the upper part of Texas, Oklahoma, the whole Midwest, up to Illinois, Minnesota. It's going to hit everybody. So I'm sure they've named it. But if this snow goes away and it gets warm and mild again, because the ground's warm still.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have to feed until calving. I got that much grass left.
Hey, I hope so.
Me too. I can get some other stuff done, but I'd have enough to last for a while. So, but that can change. The one thing we all know, you can't predict football games and you can't predict weather.
Pretty much.
You just can't. You don't know. Too many variables. The only guy that could predict it that was any good was the Rainmaker. He could go out and he could go to Home Depot and he could buy 10-foot long pieces of PVC pipe and go out and stick them in the ground and make it rain. Remember that crap?
And I remember how incensed you were.
Oh, my God.
What did they pay that guy?
A lot.
A lot of money.
Yeah. 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 So you just can't. You just don't know. We don't know. We have no clue. We don't know how much snow we're going to get. We don't know. Heck, you know, we've had a million snowstorms here in Billings where the West End out by Ironwood or out there, they'll get 8-10 inches of snow. Mm-hmm. And then the South Side and all of Billings and Lockwood, they'll get 4.
Yeah.
You don't know, folks. You just don't know. Pockets of moisture, wind, all that kind of stuff all comes into play. And we made mention of the storm that was here 3 weeks ago when we were supposed to get hammered over the weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And remember, total over the 4 days, 1.7 inches of rain. Remember that? Mm-hmm. I told Mark, they're sucking dirty canal water. They don't know what they're talking about. And we ended up with about 3,500s. Over that weekend. They missed that. You just don't know. You prepare for the worst and hope for the best.
They do a better job with snow totals. They're closer with snow totals.
It seems like it.
Than rain totals.
Yeah.
Rain, they don't know.
Yep. Yep. I'm my own grandpa. I'll be singing that today while moving the cows. A lot of guys are excited for this. They want the snow because it'll move the animals down. Get some moving, they said. That's all BS, too. You know, you just got to find them. And, yeah, get some moving. Most of the hunters like the snow because they can put their six-pack of Bergy in it and keep it cold while they're out there walking around. They come back, it's ready to go.
I'd like to defend them, but...
Saw the governor got his deer. Did you see the picture yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
I put a comment on there this morning. I'm probably the only one in the state of Montana that, because this is the kind of guy I am. But I wrote on there, where's the tag? Oh, yeah. Where's the tag?
First thing, no exceptions.
No exception. Where's the tag? I didn't see the tag. And I thought, well, maybe I'm sucking dirty canal water. So I went to the rules and regulations, Mark. I got them right here. Below is the tagging requirement now in place. And immediately after the kill, before the pictures, before you go up and put your gun away. That's right, folks. Before you hold the head up and everybody's glad to have the meat so they show the horns. Before any of that happens... Immediately after killing the deer, you tag it.
Right.
You invalidate your tag immediately. Immediately. Killing a deer, bear, elk, turkey, you must validate your kill. Fasten it to the antler or the lower jaw, or in some cases, the lower leg. I didn't see the tag anywhere.
Okay, I got a note here. What's e-tags mean? You don't need a paper tag. I don't know what an e-tag is.
Mm-hmm. Here's something else that people don't know. And I saw this. You can't cut up the animal or anything. No matter what state you're in, folks, so all the states have the same. Immediately, you have to fill out the tag and attach it to the animal. And here's something else I didn't know. Tag has to be attached even when it's taken to the processor. And, folks, you're supposed to keep the tag with your meat.
Didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. With your meat, till your meat's gone. Now, a lot of states have some different rules and things like that, but all states, though, Idaho, doesn't matter where you go, California, Wyoming, Washington, immediately after killing, the tag has to be filled out and attached to the animal. But I don't know what an e-tag is. Maybe if the deer has a cell phone... you send the deer a text, and the deer then has it. So if there is, if the e-tag thing is a thing, right, I'm sure that's the one. Because the governor, you know, he was an electronic engineer. I'm sure he does everything techie.
Well, Paul, let me give you some tips for e-tagging.
Okay.
Be sure you have downloaded the My ODFW app on your phone.
The what?
The My ODFW app, which lets you tag when you're out of cell reception.
Okay.
Log into the app before fishing and hunting and be sure your licenses and tags are in your portfolio. Buy your big game tag or redeem your sports pack voucher by tag sale deadline. If you are in an area with poor cell service, toggle to offline mode in the app to put your phone in airplane mode to make e-tagging easier. I don't understand any of this. I just want the paper tag and I'll put it on the antler.
Can be all done on your phone now. Here's the thing that a lot of those hunters that drink a lot of Bergy out there aren't going to do. According to Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, they're going to need proof of sex. Now, they're not going to tell you what they did to the animal. There's no way.
I think you're taking that wrong.
Oh, am I?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Oh, I was going to say, there's no way.
That deer was smiling when I found it.
I know you love that animal, but, I mean, they're not going to record that, anything. So, for those of you north of town, I thought we'd clarify that. Montana used to require that the sex parts stay attached, but now you can remove them and put them in an attached sack and take them with you. Sorry, officer. What's in the baggie? It's deer penis. I have to keep that with me. Yeah, because when I was taught, when you clean a deer, you cut that right off, you know, and throw it out, and the coyotes come and get it. Nope. How do you cut out? I wonder how you cut out the, if you get a doe, I wonder how you, what do you cut out their ovaries?
No idea.
Save their bag? What do you do? You know how many, folks, you know how many rules there are now compared to, say, 1965, if you hunted deer in Montana then?
Like, I couldn't hunt. I have no idea.
It's like fishing, Mark.
Right.
Cold fish, red fish, blue fish.
Well, even the thing that they added last year or earlier this year, you have to have a license to even be at a fishing access now.
Mm-hmm. See, this is for the people north of town. Make sure you keep evidence of sex with the animal. Attach the tag to the carcass in a visible manner. Huh. E-tags.
Yeah, hell no. Coming back into town, even if you didn't get anything, you have to stop at the check stations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what, folks? I just can't kill those beautiful animals anymore. I'm not a bleeding heart. God knows I've killed enough critters in my time, right, Wilson? Go ahead. That's right. Just another critter to me. But I couldn't shoot those animals anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I see them out there, and I'm marveled by the animal. Its survival instincts, how it's made it, its beauty. What its life might be like. That's what, you know, I think about it. I mean, it's tough for me when I lose a cow now or lose a calf. It's hard on me. And I don't know. You probably get this with age, but it's just tough on me. And you know, when you think about it. Now, once again, you folks know after listening for 36 years, I am not a bleeding heart person
right. Like
that. Do you think you should be bragging in your pictures? I mean, let's look at the advantage you have over the animal. Let's go through it. All right? Let's go through it. You get up in the morning, and you have a big breakfast and some coffee. Get yourself going. Bundle up in, you know, your hunting gear and your clothes and everything. Let's look at what the animal's going through at that point of the day, all right? Just laid outside all night in 30 below weather in a snowdrift, trying to find a piece of grass or something to nibble on to keep sustained body heat. You get out in your vehicle, and you take your precisionally tuned high-powered rifle with scopes and your spotting glasses and everything else with you, and commence to navigate to the highest point in an area, all right? Get up on top and you use your 40-powered binoculars to spot these animals that are still grazing or foraging or doing whatever they have to do. After that, you get up and you walk through the snow with your Red Wing winterized insulated boots.
As Halloween approaches, the Roadside Event Center in Huntley has some spine-tingling surprises for you.
Join them Friday, October 27th for spooky Halloween bingo.
Prizes, costumes, and eerie excitement.
But here's the big one, folks.
Saturday, October 28th, the Roadside Event Center presents the Exit 53 Halloween Party.
The Halloween Bash of the Year. Dressed to impress, it'll be one for the books. The Roadside Event Center. Delicious food, thrilling games, and unforgettable entertainment.
Can't wait to see you there.
Try to find the animal, of which you are a real tracker because you can follow the tracks in the snow that leads to the animal. And the only tools the animal has is instinct, his ears, and his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only tool he has. You have all these others. You see an animal from 300 yards out. You put your hand-loaded 30-06 cartridge in with a 150-grain bullet that will travel at 3,200 feet a second. And place your shot on him, animal. Bang, it's dead. Down. I get it. All right, there, you got meat. And then the first thing you do is you snap a picture.
Look at me. I have just achieved.
You know, you had a pretty good advantage over that animal, folks. You really did. And was it luck or was it skill? Was it luck or skill? You happen to be walking through and there was a patch of does and a nice buck walks out. But that's different than the story than the people get.
Mm-hmm.
Because they see the picture and then you go back to the lodge and say, I could tell by the tracks that there were large bucks in this area. My instincts told me. So I navigated through there and I was watching the first couple that came out and I knew that wasn't the one I was looking for. This other one, though, he was crafty. He went down into the river bottoms and he started navigating up. So I outsmarted him and I walked all the way around to get to the front to where he would walk right into me. And I used my instinctive hunting skills then to take the animal. I mean, really, folks, you do have quite an advantage over the animals that you're hunting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. So,
like to see a few more people post about when they go out and they miss one.
Yeah,
you
that's
don't
right.
See that.
Oh, no, no. I like to see people be sitting there and hold up a Taco John's bag. This is what I got today, or something like that, but. And once again, don't get me wrong, I understand hunting. I know its value to the ecosystem, and I know people eat the meat, and it's, and I get it. I just myself anymore, I just can't take those lives of those animals. I don't like it when my cow, gosh, when I got to shoot a cow, it's tough, man. And, you know, I've had to do it.
That's right. That's why I'm careful when I go out to Paul's place.
But what I do is I get up in the morning and I have a good breakfast and I put all my hunting gear and everything on and my boots. I get my scope and my binoculars. I go out and find this cow and perch up with my tripod about 400 yards away, nail it. Hold the cow's head up, take a picture of it, send it to all my friends. Then I tell the story. And, you wonder, you wish you could talk to the animal and ask the animal what it had to do to get to that point. You know, like these elk and stuff that are 5-6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys shoot these bulls. You know, what that elk had to do to make it for 6 years. And the elk made a mistake. We've all been there. We've all been there on a Saturday night where you're chasing a doe around and you lose all your senses. You do.
Because, gosh, she sure is pretty.
Yep, she sure is. And you forget about all the other things except for that doe you're chasing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens. Now, if they wanted to make it even fairer, have the hunting season when the rut's not taking place.
Yeah.
Then you're going to find out a little more about your skills. These bucks wander off. They go by themselves. Mark understands that completely. Don't you, Mark? Why? After the pursuit of a doe, it's just not worth it.
And God, so, I just spent 4 months after
I
her.
Know, so they wander off, they take their sleeping bag, they find a nice spot, and they rest, and they eat, and they mind their own business.
It's good to be a solo buck.
They do not want any part of does in their lives anymore.
No, I relate.
Yep. So that'd be a little tougher hunt. That'd be a tougher hunt. It's like fishing. Same thing. How many of you have seen the pictures of the guys in Fort Peck or something, and they're holding up this huge walleye or pike or something like that? Now, was that skill or was that luck? You know how many fish are in Fort Peck and how big that is?
Mm-hmm.
But you, with your skills, hey, let's describe a fishing trip. Get up in the morning, you have yourself a good breakfast. Mm-hmm. All right. You load up your $35,000 fishing boat that has trolling motors. Mark, a fish finder. They even have fish finders on there.
Mm-hmm.
You can't use anything like that when you hunt, but you can when you fish. You go out there in the lake, and you use your fish finder to locate a school of fish, and then you drop one down there. And there may be 100 fish in there. You don't know which one's going to bite at that time. You have a hook, and you don't even give the fish a chance once they're on the hook, because you use barbed hooks.
Mm-hmm.
So once they... What was the song from Red Sovine about, doesn't that hook hurt the fish's lip?
Don't know.
Daddy's Girl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Daddy's Girl is the one it is.
Okay.
And where the hook goes in, and the daughter asks him if doesn't that hurt the fish's lip. So then you use a barbed hook. So once it's set, it can't come out.
Right.
Once again, giving you another advantage, you reel this fish in that you don't know what it's like when it's down below and you're pulling it up. And then you pull the fish up and it's a nice one. Here's a picture of me showing all my skills that I just used to catch this huge fish. No. No, Mark.
I know.
That was luck. That was luck. But that's one of the things that about hunting and fishing. It's the chance. It's the possibility.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what's on the end of that hook or what's going to walk out in front of you. Some guys are lucky that way. Some guys aren't. But for to claim it's all skill and it's because of your, that's pushing it a little bit.
Reminds me of the guy that I was talking to. He was going to buy a $6,000 thermal scope for his rifle. That's not what the rifle cost or the pickup to get there or anything else.
Mm-hmm. But you got to tag your animal,
mm-hmm.
and you got to prove this, that you got to prove sex of the animal. So
of, not with.
That's right. Whether that's a DNA sample or anything, if you know what I'm talking about, Wilson, so keep that in mind for those of you north of town. That's how that works. But God, I see these pictures of dogs and people that are putting their dogs down, and it just breaks my heart.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. Breaks my heart. Hell, I've had relatives die, and I never felt as bad as when dogs die, you know?
Did you tell them?
Well, no, but I mean, it's just...
hey, Grandpa. We're going to miss you.
It's my old grandpa.
But it's not as bad as when we lost Spot.
Yeah, I buried my Uncle Dad the other day or something, but it's just, I mean, it's tough to see them. They've been so loyal and loving and all that, and they sit there, and the poor people have to... My dogs are dying naturally, because I know if you'd ask them, you give them one more day just to lay there, even though they may be hurting, they'd probably want to just lay there.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's humane, and people can do what they want, but... Well, that was sure an uplifting discussion we had early on this morning. Jeez. Yeah. Here's a guy stole 2 million dimes this year from a tractor trailer that had picked up coins from the U.S. Mint. 2 million dimes. Pay for everything in dimes.
God, years ago, you could go to the fast food places with the change in your ashtray, but now you've got to have about 9, 10, 11 bucks worth of dimes and nickels to pay for a burger and a Coke.
See, diesel fuel is up to $4.81 a gallon around here. Our gas went down a nickel yesterday, and diesel fuel went up. That doesn't make any sense. It all comes out of the same refinery, same tank. Make diesel fuel out of the scum that's left. But, isn't this funny? We're just talking about this. Here's an article in the paper today. Montana fish get more swimming space.
Huh?
Yeah. Culvert replacement and dam removal planned for four counties will reopen fish passages to 66 miles of stream in the state. Your tax dollars, 79 projects throughout the country to tear out dams and give fish more space.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. It's going to make it a little tougher for the fishermen.
I'm my own grandpa.
Wyoming beavers have a new home.
As Halloween approaches, the Roadside Event Center in Huntley has some spine-tingling surprises for you.
Join them Friday, October 27th for spooky Halloween bingo.
Prizes, costumes, and eerie excitement.
But here's the big one, folks.
Saturday, October 28th, the Roadside Event Center presents the Exit 53 Halloween Party.
The Halloween Bash of the Year. Dressed to impress, it'll be one for the books. The Roadside Event Center. Delicious food, thrilling games, and unforgettable entertainment.
Can't wait to see you there.
Nuisance beavers trapped on private land now have temporary accommodations at the Wyoming Game and Fish Department's regional facility. Oh, that's nice. Over 80 beavers have been relocated. Beavers. You know why, folks? All these people went to college. They know how many, where they're supposed to be, because they were taught by professors who are in college.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody had to make that curriculum up. Remember, never forget that. The curriculum that everyone takes in a college had to be made up by somebody else, and somebody made the first one.
Right.
And then they keep adding to it. They add their own spin to it.
Hurt that fish's lip.
Mm-hmm. Snow coming this week. That'll make for some interesting playoff games out there. For those of you north of town, it will not affect the volleyball games. But the football games, the fields could, you know, be a little slippery out there, a little soupy.
I've run into a couple of people that are greatly offended when we say people north of town.
Oh, yeah.
I said, it's not a geographical region. It's the type of people we're talking about.
Right. You know the song Mark just played? That one.
Yeah.
And if you ever doubt me.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever doubt me, folks, we can take you to places where you will see for yourself.
The guy that's got seven old toilets in his front yard?
Right.
That's the people we're talking
one
about.
One for each kid. Well, one for each kid.
If you want to spoil them.
Right. They each get their own window in the bus because that's where they sleep. There's 32 bedrooms on a school bus, folks. That's right. I'm telling you, I can show you where these people are.
Mm-hmm.
It is the truth. What else do we have going on here today that you should know about? Okay. We're sneaking up on the Flakes trip here. It's coming up soon, folks. You got to get in on that. November 11th. It's a big party. It's going to be a dandy. Oh, she's going to be a dandy. Oh, Bob Greasy. But, so you want to get in on that. There was something in here I wanted to talk about. Gotta find it here first. Kind of foggy this morning.
Yeah, a lot of patches of that coming
in. Yeah, there was some fog out there today. That's right. You know what that is, folks. He's so proud of himself.
It's the little things that keep me going.
That's why Mark wanders off in the woods by himself. There isn't a doe around that would appreciate
that's
his,
not true.
That appreciate this effort. Yeah, there's some patchy fog around today, so y'all come back now. Let's see here. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what it is as soon as I find it here. You're going to... Oh, here we go. In case you're flying. An off-duty pilot who was riding in the extra seat in a cockpit of a Horizon Air passenger jet tried to shut down the engines in mid-flight and had to be subdued by the crew. Yep. Authorities in Oregon identified the man as Joseph David Emerson, being held on 83 counts of attempted murder and reckless endangerment, and one count of endangering an aircraft.
Wow.
San Francisco flight Sunday diverted to Portland, where he was taken into custody by officers. Alaska Airlines owns Horizon. The threat was posed by one of its pilots who was off duty but authorized to occupy the cockpit jump seat. The captain and co-pilot quickly responded. Engine power was not lost and the crew secured the aircraft without incident. Air traffic controllers said the man who posed the threat had been removed from the cockpit and was in handcuffs in the back of the plane. Now, all these single guys out there want to know who had the handcuffs on the airplane. I didn't know they had those on the airplane, but they must keep them there somewhere.
I think they have handcuffs and a pistol.
Yeah, in case they have to subdue someone.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the guy that tried to shut the engines down. That's what they told the air traffic controller. I think he's subdued. And they said, we want law enforcement there as soon as we hit the ground. Bailey Beck, who was on the flight, described the confusion and stress that was experienced by the passengers. It was really bizarre. There was no overheard commotion to alert the passengers. The man walked from the cockpit to the back of the plane by himself, where he was then handcuffed to a railing and didn't make any more disturbance on the plane from that point on.
That's odd.
Had 80 passengers on board, including two children. Well, then it would have really been devastating. He tried to disable the engines by deploying the engine fire suppression system that's on the airplanes. He had a valid license to fly, had a house in California. You never knew what drove him to this brink, Mark. Mark's laughing. You never know. According to an aviation security expert, the airlines have to approve people who sit in that jump seat. Pilots who work the flight, though, can deny access if they don't want anybody in there.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. Airlines usually use a third seat to accommodate a pilot who needs to get in position to fly a later flight. That way they can avoid bumping a passenger off the plane. Many U.S. carriers will let pilots from other airlines occupy the third seat. For the amount of times this type of incident happens, which is almost never, it's probably not a procedure we need to get rid of. In 1994, a FedEx pilot was facing possible termination, tried to kill the crew and crash the plane. The crew subdued him. He got life in prison. 2018, a pilot in the jump seat of a Boeing 737, operated by an airline in Indonesia, emerged as a hero after helping the crew stop the plane's nose from pointing down. Disaster was averted there. There have been crashes that investigators believe were deliberately caused by pilots. The most recent, I remember this, when a German Wings jet crashed in the French Alps in 2015. The pilot just put the plane in a dive right into the mountain at that point. So if you're flying today, have a good trip. Happy flying. Don't think of any of this stuff.
You know, quick glance to the cockpit, see how your crew is doing.
That's right. You know, they could always sit in one of them. One of them could always sit in those seats that the airline stewardesses buckle into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, could always sit there. But these planes, there's an extra cockpit seat there. So, but it almost never happens.
Right.
Never. So, you know. So there you are. It's just.
And that's why when I fly first class, and I'm going to need another one of these.
That's right. And I don't mean double the orange juice in it either, sweetheart. By the way, you see this T-shirt? I'm already seeing someone who's not interested in me, so just bring me my drink, please. All right.
Up. Sounds like you were going to backtalk, and we didn't order that.
Right.
Okay, we'll get rolling. First news coming up, 6:09.
The Breakfast Flakes podcast brought to you by the Blue Cat Bar and Grill. Next to the Roadside Events Center in Huntley, the Blue Cat, it's where it's at.